And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Corey Sandin, the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. What a great guest. Danny Wade, Surface Iron Guru, is here. And we're getting all the inside information here from this master.
Some really good stuff. Some good stories, some good info, some good intel.
Stuff you can't get anywhere else.
Right? Yeah. And if you want to join us, 213-432-1090 is the telephone number. Give us a shout. We're giving away a full-day trip on to San Diego, if it isn't fitting enough, right? Yeah. Giving away a full-day trip. Surface Iron Guru himself, Ryan and Matt, and fishing on to San Diego to Seaford, or text us via the app.
Yeah, for sure. And we're giving away a great prize this morning, too, a double.
Oh, you know what? I mentioned the San Diego, but I forgot to mention Point Loma Seafood. Run on down there and enjoy a $50
certificate. $50
certificate
to Point Loma Seafoods and that trip on the San Diego.
I could think of so many things I would dig into at Point Loma. At Point Loma Seafoods, man. A smoked fish case, even.
So much good stuff. Hey, let's go down to Fisherman's Landing Tackle. A hard-working Rock Cod Rick is on the line. Good morning, Rick.
Ricky. Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing?
Oh, doing great, man. You're missing a great show here with Danny the Master.
I'm really bummed. Danny is certainly one of, if not my most favorite guests and favorite fishing people down there. I get the luxury of talking to Danny once or twice a week, and they're... In my opinion, is nobody that knows more about this game than he, and I'll very much look forward to hearing the show on the archive. We've got a busy morning this morning, so not able to catch the whole thing, but I know Danny very well, and I know the info that he gives is no nonsense, and it's the straight dope, man. I'm really looking forward to hearing this show on the archives.
Yeah, so how is the sale going?
Dude, this is a really good one. I mean, yesterday was fantastic. Today is shaping up to be the same. It's just, it is our last show opportunity of this season. You know, the season, we were kind of saying before it gets rolling, well, it's rolling, and so is the sale. Things have been really busy. Line machines are both cranking right now. Boys are doing a great job kicking butt. One thing we didn't really talk too much about yesterday, but really is a good one, is, and I didn't kind of realize we had amassed so much stuff. Our raffle is great. We got Biz outside selling our raffle tickets this morning.
Biz himself?
And Carrie's going to be taking over this afternoon. And, we got a great raffle. Tons of stuff. I mean, there's a bunch of trip prizes and gift certificates and tackle donated by a bunch of different manufacturers. And all of the money that we raise goes to Friends of Rollo. A great seminar coming up at 11 o'clock with Steve Carson. He kind of really talks about the rods and reels that we use for this style of fishing, and kind of helps, a question we get on Let's Talk Hookup all the time. You know, what do I need to take on this trip, and what do I need to take? And his, this seminar is just kind of about gear selection and how you take the right stuff. You don't need to take everything, kind of how to pare it down for the stuff that you will be using and why. But the day is all about tackle, and man, the sales are real deal, Pete. We've got a really great day going on.
Yeah, and buy two, get one free on all the fluorocarbon, according to Seaguard, gold label, my favorite there. Talked about that DW1, JRI jigs, or we heard somebody texted earlier that they bought four and they got seven. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
And let me real fish about that Seaguard thing, too. You're right. Seaguard gold label, buy two, get one free, no limit. It's all the sizes, you can mix and match all that. But if you buy two, you get one free. Well, if you buy four, you obviously get your two extras free, so you get a total of six. But you also get a really cool, I don't know what you'd call it, like a line keeper, a bag. It's basically a bag that Seaguard produced. It's a soft-sided kind of tube bag that holds all six spools together. It's got a really nice keeper. It's basically like a line management bag. got a Bitchin' Cigar logo embroidered on it, and you get that free when you buy four. So you pay for four of them, you're going to walk away with six, your two freebies, and you get a really killer bag to contain all that line in. It's been a really popular one.
And reels, rods, everything in MC Swim Baits, everything is on sale, right?
MC Swim Baits, buy two, get one free. We had a ton of people yesterday getting ready for their Cedros trips, coming in and stocking up, buying a bunch of weedless. The war baits and the weighted lead heads from Gamakatsu are on sale. That's all buy two, get one free. It's just been a really big thing. Obviously, the reels is the showstopper. Discounts on all the reels. There's free Spectra promos that go along with every one of the reels. All the rods are on sale. If you're wanting to buy a Danny Wade, jig rod and get your surface iron on, we've got all that in stock. 100 J's in stock, Alua's in stock, UC long rods in stock, and all of it's on sale today. It's our last day of the sale. It's our last sale until tackle days at the opposite end of this season. So our last shot today, going on until 6 o'clock this evening.
Yeah, and lots of bluefin tuna hitting the dock here this morning, right?
I mean, almost every boat. I think we had four boats go from the landing, and three of them had limits, and the other one had great fishing as well. It is very good fishing. The high majority of those were caught in the dark on flat fall and knife style jigs. It was very good fishing to be had. A lot of fish that were in like the 40 to 50 pound range. Plenty of big ones to go with it too, but lots of good 40 to 50 pound fish, and 250 gram flat falls were catching a high percentage of them, as well as all the other knife jigs, and all of the popular glow drop jigs worked. But we did hear from one of the boats that the 250 gram original OG style flat fall was the hot ticket.
Okay, all right, Rock Cod Rick, Fisherman's Line Attack going on. Say the big sale going on till 6 p.m. tonight, right?
You got it, man. 6 o'clock. Come down and see us.
All right. Very good, Rick. Well, we miss you here in the studio, but I'm glad you're working there and selling some tackle. Thanks a lot for the update.
Thanks for the time, boys. See you soon.
Okay.
See you, Danny.
See you soon. Man, some crazy deals going on down there, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump back in those phones.
Let's do it.
Jam-packed. They want to talk to Danny.
They are packed. And let's talk to Craig. Craig Hall from Ocean Beach. Good morning, Craig. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm going to shift gears out of service iron for a little bit. My question is for you, Corey. I've heard you mention a few times that three rods are all you need and all that you use. Can you talk about those three rods? And I know you brought three with you on our Islander kayak trip last year. Can you talk about the three that you brought?
Well, I think on that trip, I think I might have only had two, but three maybe on the kayak. The 708 is like my moneymaker. Like that for weedless fishing, even a 5-inch, weedless to the 7-inch, and then so the 708 on that one.
What is a 708?
It's a Seeker Inshore Pro Signature Series rod. So it's made by Seeker. They've got the right bend. They're forgiving. It's more of a combination. It's got the glass tip on it. Uh-huh. Lightweight, ergonomic. Check them out. I mean, it's just worth looking
and
at.
And what do you put? What reel are you putting on that?
By far, the Tranks 300. That setup. I can do anything I want.
Okay.
Striper on the East Coast. Calico's local.
Yeah.
Yellows at. Kind of light.
Wherever they have them in stock, I know you try and buy them.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a whole arsenal.
So, but the 708, the 709 is a good one too. Those are two of my favorites.
All right, and then what's the other rod?
That's it. Honest to God, the 708 I use for everything.
Okay.
Freshwater.
All right.
The Salto. Maybe a 706. So like those three. How about that?
All right. So you're using that at El Salto too.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Let's go.
Throw in the weedless or the Viejo.
Lead heading, you could, this seriously, the 708, it could even be a 20-pound bait rod.
Okay.
It's a good all-around, it's a very forgiving rod.
Okay.
It is.
Great. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Very good. You have a good text, you said.
I do. Yeah. I do have a good one here. It's from Gil. Gil and Menifee, and appreciate you texting us via the app, and he left his telephone number. So he's in for in the hat to win the trip on to San Diego. He says, good morning. I'd like to ask your guest, is there any advantage of using a single hook surface iron over a treble hook? And are there any surface irons that work on Wahoo?
Wahoo will jump on them. They're hard to hook. Just nature of the beast. They're hard to hook anyway. Nature of the beast. The problem with surface iron fishing for wahoo is the rods are relatively light, so you can't drive that hook into their mouth.
Yeah.
But it can be done. I've done it, you know.
They'll eat it.
But as far as, you know, surface iron single hook or treble hook, I think a treble hook, as a rule, fishes better. It's a little more of a rudder-like thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Single hooks mainly came out for Taddy, really got into it heavily with barracuda fishing. That man loved barracuda fishing. That was his deal, was barracuda fishing. Thus, the A1s came out, the double A's long before that.
Which are smaller.
Smaller.
Meant for barracuda.
Exactly.
Interesting.
But I think your hookup ratio is better with a treble hook than it is with a single hook, because yellowtail get that head shake and that thump, 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 and they can pry just that single hook out of their mouth.
Okay.
It's a leverage point.
They will both swim well, you know, so that's not the issue. The A1, one of my little tricks, is a La Jolla go-to.
Really? The A1?
Yeah, I showed
the Taddy A1.
Yeah, I showed Castleton.
That's a smaller jig.
Yeah, I showed those guys that A1 up there, and they just fell over it, you know.
The Basco nuts for that.
And the yellow.
In the yellow.
There's something about La Jolla where as a DW1, an A1, the Taddy C, J-pot, little smaller profile.
Yeah, you're describing jigs that are in that medium to smaller.
Exactly, and La Jolla's all about that. You can stand there with a 7X in La Jolla and catch one, and a guy fishing an A1, if he knows what he's doing and has decent fishing, is going to get four.
Wow. Wow.
That's some good info.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, Gundy must be fishing today. So wrapping up that catch report, spring is here, and it's time to go to the beach. For all your surf fishing needs, check out surffishtackle.com. Also, the CCA California, Bill Varney, are teaming up again this summer for several on-the-beach seminar clinics. You'll find all the details at fishthesurf.com. And Corey, let's jump back on the phone.
Let's do it. How about John? John Cone from Rancho San Diego. Good morning, John. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Hey, Pete, Corey, and Danny. Great show this morning. Just really enjoying this great conversation. And I had a quick question about all the different brands of surface irons that are out there now. You know, I know that Danny's a little partial to the JRI DW1, but the Taddy, Salus, Nomad, Pacific Lures, and especially those a lot of cheaper knockoffs. I mean, I'm wondering if there's a brand that you should stick with, or if there are brands that you should probably try to avoid because they're a little less consistent.
Good question.
It's you know, whatever works. I mean, I've got jigs that guys made in their garage that I fish with that are just incredible. They've never been on a rack for sale anywhere, but whatever it works, if you're comfortable, if you're catching fish on it, keep using it. I don't care what brand it is, whether it's JRI stuff or Taddy or Salus or OCT or any number of whatever it may be. If you're getting bites on it, keep fishing it. Don't let the brand name fool you one way or the other or influence you one way or the other. On any jig that's ever made, again, and I'll say this until I turn blue in the face, you have to make it work. The jig isn't going to do it, you know.
They all have their personality.
They all have characteristics. They all have different things they do. Even CNC, none of them are exactly the same.
CNC, you're talking about the jigs
the
that are computer cut.
Yeah, none of them are exactly the same.
Interesting.
I can take a OCT and pick two of them and show you differences. Nature of the game. I can take 4Os and show you differences. DW1s and show you differences. And that's what makes it work. When they're all the same, you have no variable. Without any variable, if you're not catching fish on one, you're not going to catch fish on another.
It's just being able to look at that jig in the water and understand that it looks right or it doesn't look right and slow it up, speed it up.
A jig has a somewhat of a serpentine action, but yet it doesn't do the same thing all the time. So it kicks back and forth, three, four times, whatever it is, and then at a given point.
What you're describing here, I'm going to stop right here, okay? Because what you're describing is the pinnacle of jig fishing,
right?
The
right.
pinnacle in being able to describe how a jig swims. So you're talking a serpentine action, left to right, left to right.
Right. And it'll roll once in a while because it's got to come back, but then it kicks off to one side, and it kicks off in a wide motion.
Double,
so,
like.
So it's a thump, a thump, 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 a boom, and it kicks off.
And then but comes back
But it comes back into play. It comes back into that same action. And that whole, this is another Taddy story.
If you can only see Danny right now, Danny has a smile.
I consider it a privilege that I got to know Taddy relatively well.
Senior.
Yeah, yeah. But he's, Sam, he told me a deal many, many years ago. And again, you got to decipher things with him because he had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But you take a ball of bait. You've seen it on National Geographic or whatever you've seen it on.
1,000 pieces of sardine and a bait ball.
Yeah, so the ones on the outside are trying to get to the inside to get safe, and they're trying to push the one from the inside to the outside. You know?
Yes.
So that's inside, outside. Those tuna or yellowtail or whatever, as it comes down, they don't go flying through the middle of it. They're picking them off on the edges, And if you pay attention to it long enough, the one that doesn't come into play when, you know, they're all making that left turn at the same time, and the one that misses gets eaten.
That's
your jig kicking out.
And from my experience bait fishing, I'd like to add to what Danny just said, because when you have a bait ball and they're all swimming in unison, you see fluid movement.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see an individual bait, a sardine on its own, and it's freaking out, it's trying to figure out what to do, where do I go, it's going left, going right, going left, right, and it makes that little hiccup of a move, of a hesitation off to the side,
that's the one that gets picked off.
That's vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's basically telling the yellowtail, like, what do I do? Where am I going? I'm being chased.
And that's what it is. It's that lure's got to, when it kicks out, just like you're talking about a bait, you know, just like I was talking about that ball of
yes,
bait. You know,
yes,
it's that same thing. And that's the trigger for that fish. And once that gets triggered, they can't stop.
The last 3 minutes of conversation, you need to listen to three times. Seriously.
Yeah. Back in the archive.
Danny described something very extremely important. I know Mr. Dave Hansen probably has a clue on this one, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, let's find out what's going on that FishDope.com report with Captain Dave Hansen.
Yeah, the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only will they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, now with Fish Pros at Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked, jerked fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burgers, along with their amazing poke kit and the new ceviche kit, too. Stop by their location, Old Town, on Taylor Street, or call for details or order online at fishmansprocessing.com. And, Pete, I'd like to give a shout-out to a very good friend, Elisa. Elisa is in Vancouver, British Columbia, listening. And when she comes to San Diego, we're going to go into Fisherman's Processing and get a nice chunk of bluefin.
Oh, yeah.
And be able to make some poke and
get
sashimi.
The poke and the sashimi.
That's what Sean offers.
I think he does the best jerky in town.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Their spice is all, like, made right there. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Artisanal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Hey, Captain Dave, what's going on?
Mr. Dave Hansen.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Corey. Good morning, guys. Great show. That barracuda fishing on the iron, that's it. There's nothing better, man. And I did a lot of interviews with a lot of old timers, and there was barracuda on the iron. That was the thing. And I know Danny Wade knows that there's nothing better. And I loved the 1X100. That's what I fished those barracuda with. That jig was insane.
I still use that as a yo-yo jig.
Sweet. Yeah, that thing is deadly. The 1X100 blue and white, I tell you what. But those barracuda would take that thing so deep that if you didn't have that little piece of wire in front, and we used a little bit of thin wire, just single strand thin wire, that was the dope for fishing those barracuda in the day.
Secret stuff.
All right. Well, gang, I got the opportunity to go to Catalina. I fished Catalina Friday and Saturday, and it was the roughest, toughest fishing that I've been a part of for a very, very long time, Pete. You wouldn't believe it. I stayed up all night Friday night to catch 60 squid with the crowder, one, oh. two at a time, one, Ooh. Two at a time. It was gnarly. And then we had our one little flash opportunity right at gray light, and we hung a fish. And silly me, I handed the rod off to the young man that was with me, and he thought the best thing to do to get that fish on the boat was to stick his thumb on the spool. So that was that. That was our one big opportunity. And then we poked around the island for the rest of the day, all around the east end of the island, and we ended up finding 5 calico bass for the whole day. And I had a tank of fin bait, and I had 60 squid. It was brutal. It was brutal. Really weird weather. Southeast, southwest, northwest, drizzly, cold, no current. Beautiful water, though. The water looks great over there, but it was just a really tough day. And I know I like to always be super positive, so let's jump into the positive. My goodness, can you believe what's going on down below the border here? Not very far either. Oh, my God, I know everyone's talking about it already, but wide open bluefin tuna, the catchable size, and kelp patty yellowtail already. Oh, my goodness. I think we're in store for just a phenomenal season. The water in the channel from Catalina to the beach is really, really blue. There's some very, very clean water. So I think that bodes very well for us for what's going to happen.
Oh, it sounds so good. And the guys that are seeing it are saying there's so much volume right now that we've got, hang on, Dave, we're going to catch some fish for sure. And fishdope.com, Danny and the boys over there have all the information, and $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code hookup now, lowercase, no space. Hookup now is your $20 code. And Dave, how do we find you for all those great videos and instructions?
Gang, I'm all over the place. I just did a phenomenal interview with Michael Folk, so all I'm getting is positive back. Cool. So you can see that with Michael at Inside Sport Fishing. Plus, you can see all my cool videos at yoursaltwaterguide.com, plus any social media. I'm across every single social media, so check me out, yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I will be with you guys next weekend to tell you how bitchin' the fishing is.
Okay, I like it. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that very much, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, I'm going to kick back and listen to Danny. See you guys.
All right, yeah, very good.
Times. It's brought to you by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro series, and we were just talking about Fishman's Processing,
yeah.
Right? Like, you can step on in there and check out Raymond and the boys using them. And the other custom fillet knives from Anza Knives, made from a high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge and is easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more and get the Fish Pro series of Fishman's Processing.
Yeah, hey, great text from Lance up at 29 Palms, and he wants to know, when you have a surface iron that doesn't swim right, can you alter the way it goes?
It can be done, but it's not as easy as people think.
Yeah.
You know, I have filed lures before that weren't working as well as I thought they should have and made them work. But
like taking a sharp nose to a blunt nose?
More so the edge, more so in the hips and so on. But it's not as easy as you think. It can be done. His problem being in 29 Palms is, are you going to run down to San Diego Bay to test it out?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
that's
well, you could throw it in a lake or something.
You don't have any current in the lake to speak
no.
of.
Oh.
And I bet you, I never thought about
that. And salt water versus fresh water,
too.
Yeah, that's
what I was just going to say, the salinity.
Yeah. So there's variables that go into it. You know, my thing is, if it doesn't work, you know, you spent $12 or $20 on it, whatever. If it doesn't work, you can't screw it up.
That's exactly my thoughts
point.
Too. Right?
Make a change and see if it happens.
So you know, start whittling away on it. Get yourself a bastard file and then start whittling away on it.
Can't hurt it. Right?
And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you know, again, if it works, it might be a learning experience.
Oh, okay. Taken away.
A little tip right there.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Ken? Ken calling from Santa Barbara. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good show this morning. Hi, Ken.
I just wanted to share a story. Growing up in Santa Barbara as a kid, my dad used to take me out on the sport boats, and we'd go fish rock cod out at the Santa Barbara Channel Islands. And he started making his own ganyons. He would take a roll of 60,000 stainless steel shim stock, and he'd cut it into strips about the width and the length of either an anchovy or a sardine, and then drill a hole in both ends and put a split ring and a hook on one end and a snap swivel on the other, and he'd make a 3 to 5 foot ganyon. And then just drop it down to the bottom, and in the current, it would sit there and spin. And I'll tell you what, man, those things used to catch fish. It was unbelievable.
Interesting.
I've seen lots of, you know.
Things work.
I've seen, and the old church key, you know, the little can opener, bottle opener. Got to take it and twist it, put
right.
rings on the end of it, treble hook on it, cast it out, catch barracuda.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Great story, Ken. Thanks for sharing it. Appreciate the call this morning. Nice text from just to say hi. Great show, guys. You have new listener from Vancouver, Canada, and that's Elisa. Always nice to hear
cool.
from wherever you are, even
right?
if you're over the border there. Thanks, Elisa, from listening to us.
It's so easy
right?
via the app.
On the app.
And
yeah.
I use
app is so awesome.
That's seriously. It's the only way I really listen
yeah.
to the show.
I think a lot of people do. Yeah.
I'm working, and I can
yeah.
listen to it
and
while
you,
I want.
And if you miss a show, you just tune into the archive that Adam puts
there
up
it is.
Pretty much right away after the show.
He usually
Adam
within
does such
an hour.
A great job.
Usually
yeah.
within an hour he's
oh,
got
yeah.
it up, and
yep.
I know because
yep.
I'm looking.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and jump back into it.
Let's
Corey.
Do it. How about John from Escondido? Good morning. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So my question is, and Corey, you talked a little bit about earlier that your main setup is the Trank 200 and your rod, but when you're fishing your service iron, does the weight of the service iron dictate the weight of the rod that you're going to fish with?
Gary, well, let me clarify. The 300 Tranks is my go-to for throwing plastics, for throwing the weedless and fishing in the kelp and calico. I mean, everything. From halibut to striper and East Coast to local calico. That's my go-to, the 300 Tranks, for sure, on a 708. But Danny's got a different take.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm doing something a little bit different.
A little bit.
On the surface, and again, you know, for anything of a Taddy's A1 or AA or candy bars, if you can find them, the 150s, the 200s, Salas's 7X Junior, stuff of that nature. And all the way up to 45s and 112 bars and the DW1s and JRI-7 and all that stuff. I throw that stuff on the baby Alua skinny butt. It works well for all of it. Now, when I get into 7Xs and full 5Xs and 14As and that bigger stuff, I'm using a 10.5 foot CUI.
10.5 foot?
Yeah.
Wow. A CUI.
Yeah, it's a... It's a 1200 CUI that was originally was 12 foot.
12.
And I came across this by accident.
Yeah. I want to hear it, though.
Don Sansom, he wanted this 12 foot rod.
Yeah.
Because I had been playing with it, so he wanted one. And he brought it back to me and said, I don't like this thing. So he handed it back to me. And I, what the heck am I going to do with this thing? So I said, well, I'm going to cut it off and see what happens. I cut it to a size 14 tip, and then from the butt end, measured it to 10.5 feet, and then cut the butt end to get to 10.5 feet, and absolutely fell in love with it. Been using them ever since.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
7Xs and the little bit bigger jigs.
Bigger jigs.
Yeah.
And also fishing 45s, candy bars, and so on, if the wind's blowing.
Yeah, I got you. That's mm-hmm. a long rod.
Yeah, but
so
it gets you there.
When Danny Wade goes fishing, how many different rod and reel combos are you taking?
Four.
Four.
Yeah, I take three long rods for surface iron fishing, and then you got to have the yo-yo stick because you just got to have it.
Yeah,
which is a shorter.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Three different
yeah.
rods for yeah. surface iron.
Not because of the rods themselves, because I like to have three different styles of surface iron.
Okay.
Tied.
All right.
I have a DW1 hat tied on. I still have a 45 tied on.
Okay.
And I generally will get into a bar, or a bar tender, and that's where the wire starts coming into play.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, getting into that 7X kind of thing and so on. So,
does Danny Wade ever fish bait?
Rarely. I will fish bait at the islands if that bluefin's in there just to do it, and people look at me like, well, you don't know how to fish a bait? Well, so I started out doing that before I've ever picked a jig up.
Crazy.
I've got a really cool story for you real quick. Is my very first surface iron rods were made by this gentleman right here, Danny Wade.
By Danny Wade
in the mid-'80s, 540. Well,
542s, or was it a 540?
Both. Okay. It was 540 and then a Harnell 542. Yeah. And I still had that stick up until about 4 years ago. And I gave it to a very dear friend of mine, Dave, who took as much love and appreciation for it as I had.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a collector kind of guy, you know.
I'm not either.
I'm a man of function, and I want to use that hammer to pound nails. And I gave it to a very good friend, Dave, who still has it and adores it as much as I did. So
that's cool.
Just a cool story.
Yeah, that is.
Yay, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hook Up. More Danny Wade and sharing good stories when we return on Let's Talk Hook Up. App, Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it: the fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Park Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
The fishing season is here, and it's time to get your gear in order. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. If you've been following us on Instagram, you know that we've been loading up on tackle. The best fishing gear is hard to get this year, so take advantage of our huge inventory by coming to Sail at the Docks, Saturday and Sunday, April 2nd and 3rd. Those that came to our sale in February know what incredible deals we had, and by popular demand, we are doing it again. This is your golden opportunity for huge savings on everything you need to fish this summer. We will be discounting all the big names. Shop for rods, reels, jigs, hooks, fluorocarbon, clothing, terminal tackle, and much more. And as always, we will have raffles both days to benefit Rollo. Follow us on Instagram and get updates on all the deals. That's Fisherman's Landing Tackle, huge spring sale number 2, Saturday and Sunday, April 2nd and 3rd. We will see you at the landing.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know: Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
And welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, Pete, we are having such a great time.
Gosh.
The lines have been packed.
So much going on here.
The texts are deep.
Oh, my, deep.
Everybody wants their chance to win a trip on the San Diego at a Seaford. Not only talk to Danny, right?
Yeah.
Get the info, but and the $50 gift certificate to Point Loma Seafoods,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, for
one
sure.
One lucky winner.
Yeah, so a lot of great calls, a lot of great texts. And here's a good one from Dan. And he says, on the topic of surface irons, a lot of folks have been saying we need to upgrade stock hooks. And in case anyone has a bigger bluefin, does changing the hook, especially going from a treble to a single, decrease the action of the lure? Do manufacturers really pick the hook that swims best? Good question. We kind of covered that on the single hooks already, but what about increasing the size of the treble?
For bluefin, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They don't care if it swims or not. It's just moving.
Yeah.
Typically, surface iron, you know, you see a spot of fish getting up, you want to let it sink for like 10 seconds. Get it down below a little bit.
Yeah.
So it separates, you know, from the pack. Yellowtail, if you use a too heavy a hook, your lure's not going to work. That's just the way it is, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You want, if you can find them, that 3-aught for a 45 size lure, that 3-aught cadmium hook, if you can get those, and that's what you want. And I say that because you want them to actually bend a little bit. You hang it on a ball of kelp, you get hung up on a stone, or something of that nature, and the hook bends out, you get your lure back. Rarely are you going to have an issue with your hook bending. On a yellowtail.
Especially, as you said, Danny, using monofilament.
Right.
40 pounds. Yeah.
I carry typically a half a dozen 2-aught and 3-aught hooks with me, spares. The little hook cutters they sell at Fisherman's and little red handle things. You cut the bottom of the eye of the hook right at the shank off your lure when it gets screwed up. You throw it away. You cut a new one. You bend it open, and you put it back on the same way the other one came off, on
the same side up. So you cut the hook and then bend it back on, and it'll stay on?
Yeah.
You don't have to weld it or anything?
No. Do an experiment sometime.
Okay.
Take a jig. Probably 50% of what I fish with have cut hooks on.
No kidding.
Yeah. You can't pull hard enough on it to break it.
Okay.
I don't care if you're fishing 100 pounds. You can't pull hard enough on it to break it.
So where do you cut that hook? Do you cut?
Right at the base of the eye where it all is welded together.
Okay.
At the very bottom.
And then you just kind of bend it out gently.
Yeah.
Put it on.
Bend it back on.
But the key to the whole thing is the monofilament. If you're using 50-80 pound Spectra to a short top shot leader,
you'll probably bend something.
It's going to. Yeah.
But I mean, if you go back and look at Candy Bar, back when you know Candy Bar was coming for years and years and years, when you bought a Candy Bar, their hook was a cut hook from Mustad, and you got an extra hook with it.
Oh, wow.
In case. So you had that extra hook.
That's the way they sold them.
The hooks were cut.
Interesting.
So you can't pull on it hard enough.
Yeah, for a yellowtail.
But the lighter weight of that hook makes the lure keep the action it's got. If you go to a triple X or a quadruple X strong, whatever.
It's like an anchor on the back end.
Exactly. You might as well put a bell sinker on it. And
so you'd want to use the light hook.
Yeah.
And is there,
what the jig manufacturer puts on.
And here's a question I would have. Is there a difference in where you would put the hook in position on the jig with the two hooks down, two hooks up kind of thing?
Good question.
That's an opinion. For myself, the belly of the jig, the rounded part, you know.
Right.
Two hooks down to that.
Okay.
The flat side, one hook up.
And that's the way it's intended to swim.
That's the way they have been made for years and years and years. Candy Bar, original Candy Bars were different. They were just the opposite.
Opposite?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to look at a few.
You got to go back and find some old ones.
Yeah.
But you'll see that it's the two are up on the flat side.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Now, if you don't have confidence in cutting the hook and then bringing it back, there are guys that will braise a new ring on for you, like One Cool Tuna. Jeff will do that for you. He does stuff like that. But other guys. And it's not that hard to do, right?
Yeah, as long as you got the stuff. You know, yeah, I mean, I braise jigs here and there, you know. You break a ring or something like that. I have a few rings. I braise them at home, but it's a pain in the butt.
You know,
I don't have a braise.
Proper tool.
Right, but I make it work.
Yeah. All right, let's jump in the phones, Corey.
Let's do it, Pete. How about Mike? Mike from Emmett. Appreciate you joining us with Danny Wade in studio. Mike, thank you.
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
Doing very good.
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to call you. Got back home this morning off the Fortune on the 1.75 day. Seen the new Loanne out there. The queen was out there. But I just wanted to say, if you guys are going to go on 1.75 day, and the fish are biting, make sure to take some reading material or something, because next day you don't have nothing to do when you catch all your limits in one night.
Because you were done.
Hey, what do you do when you have limits?
We were done.
Take a nap.
Wow.
Yeah, we were done.
And the fish are pretty close,
we were done before, right? Yeah, like you said, we're down out front of Ensenada.
Nice.
But we were done before midnight.
That's awesome. So, any tips for people that they're going, other than reading material?
The cold snipers were working. There were people hooking up 8-10 fish, you know. The cold snipers were working the best, 120 grams. The darker colors.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Sounds like that. Heck of a
sound like
of
a
fun.
Good time.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for the report and thanks a lot for the call. Good tip.
And
cold sniper 120 grams.
Really good tip. And the fact that
buy two get one free at Fisherman's Lane.
Right now. Yeah. But the fact they're getting limits and the fact that there's a nice stretch of weather this week. There's a few nice days of weather.
Oh,
so you got your chance.
Oh yeah.
Hello.
For sure. All right. Yeah. This week, you know, especially Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's called good time.
Yeah. All right. You got a good one?
I do.
Right.
I have. This is a really good question, actually. Is there any truth to the theory that fish get tired of the same jigs season after season? And this is from Kevin in San Clemente.
I don't think so. It's not like a calico bass or a Florida bass, you know, where they live in a somewhat of an area. Yellowtail have tails, and they're made to swim.
Absolutely, right? Hey,
yeah.
I've got a good one for Kevin. If he's got a jig that's getting bit, it's almost not going to be good next year. Like, go send it to me.
Yeah, there you go. But, no, I've got, you know, whatever brands, you know, 45s, candy bars, 7Xs, you know, stuff. I mean, I've been catching fish on these jigs for, you know, 30, 40 years. Unless I lose them, but
right.
And I don't care if they're paint on it or no paint on it, you know, and they still bite it. A yellowtail will follow anything you put in water, but they won't bite it.
Yeah, and then will they eat it? How many times have you swum a jig and they're just, you see them following it and it's like, eat the thing, right? Eat it.
But and that's it. But you know, when it swims properly, they bite it.
They bite it.
Whether it's here or at
Benito's.
Whatever.
Okay,
whatever.
So let me ask you this. You have yellowtail following your jig, and they're just not eating it. Are there ways that Danny Wade gets them to eat?
Change the cadence. You know,
change
whether
the speed.
Whether it be slow it down, whether it be speed it up, or whether it be just put a little hitch in the skittle on, you know.
Okay.
Just that little,
just
whatever you
change
call that.
Change something.
Change something, yeah. You know, it's typically if they're following your jig and they're right behind it, nose on it, right behind it, they're not going to bite it anyway.
Something's not right. They should have already eaten it.
Right.
Yeah, it's already gone.
When yellowtail eat your jig 99% of the time, they eat it coming from an angle.
Okay.
Not directly behind
it. Not behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even when they're behind it, they decide to finally eat it. They go off to the side and come across it.
Ah, okay.
Interesting. You talking about yellows following, it brings back memories of the Viva Toad, the Hoochie Toad, right? I mean, they would follow the heck out of those things.
I used to, a buddy of mine, Bob Murphy, he ran boats here for years, you know. He would fish those Viviths, and I would just eat them up.
Yeah, what's a Vivith?
A Hoochie Toad?
Yeah,
is...
it was a... It's the original swim bait.
They came
out of France back in the 50s.
Wow.
They have a molded double, like, trolling style hook into them, and it's a body of a fish, and it's got its thin tail on it. If you look them up, go on, you know, like Google and Vivith.
Yeah, okay.
And you'll see them.
The bass would eat them.
Yeah,
just, you know,
but he would use these things, you know, fishing yellows. And this is back when Bobby Tapp was running a Mascot 6. And me and Bobby would stand on one side of them. And these yellowtail are creaming on these things, but they won't bite it. And we'd take whatever surface iron we got and lay it out beside them. And,
Thanks, Murph.
They would attract you, right? Teaser.
He'd get so mad at
it. Hey, speaking of history, some good history from Bill and Lucadia. Danny, I began fishing because my uncle, whose two best friend buddies were Dick Taddy and Dale Salas. He fished with one or the other both almost every weekend. Did you ever know Joel Cape from way back?
No. I mean, I met Dale Salas when I was a little kid, a one-leg He had a peg leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was a kid, though. Taddy Shimizu, I met him, you know, whenever that was. I was in my teens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would,
these are all the guys that like kind of invented surface iron fishing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, technically, Taddy got into the surface iron thing a little bit later than everybody else. He was making the I call them flat irons, but they were made out of like a brass, a flat metal, and they were elongated and twisted and painted in different,
kind of like the Y2 kind of
that
Taddy Y2.
Yeah, but long before that. Yeah.
I got you.
And most of them were treble hook. And again, he loved that barracuda fishing, and that's and bonita fishing. So that was where he originally got a start. Salus and the putter and the candy bar and all that kind of stuff had been around for, you know, probably close to 10 years. Three and one, and I mean there were dozens of them that were making surface iron.
In the three and one, that kind of era was even before Candy Bar, I think, wasn't it? Like Candy Bar was second or third,
Depending on whose story you want to.
Yeah,
the putter stuff is probably the first commercially
produced
viable. Candy Bar became big time.
But the Taddy and the Salus are like second, third generation.
Salus would have been right in there.
In the mix.
Taddy wasn't until the 60s when he really got into trying to do the surface iron thing.
Yeah. But man, growing up with Taddy's, that was the deal.
The thing, you know, especially with Bill, you know, his son, as he got emphysema really, really bad.
Okay.
But he would come down, you know, they would deliver the jigs themselves, you know, and Bill would come down as a yellow whatever kind of truck it was, you know, and he'd bring his dad with him, and they'd just sit out, and you know, between H&M and Point Loma, and, you know, Bill would deliver the jigs, but, you know, all, you know, captains with old caddies here, and they got to come over and pay your respects, you know. And,
right.
And, hi, how you doing? It's just a little chat show, you know, it's just having a little talk with a guy you respected.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
what history,
cool.
Man.
Yeah,
some
cool.
Big-time history.
All right, let's jump back in the phones, try and sneak one more in.
Yeah, let's do it. Bob Cone from Cerritos. Appreciate you joining us, Bob.
I guess we lost Bob.
I've got a good text here about that. And this comes from Jeff in Bay Park. And kind of a cool question for Danny here. Wondering if you could tell us what your biggest yellow on the surface iron is and what you caught it on and where you got it.
It was at Guadalupe. It was 68 pounds, and it was on a aluminum candy bar.
How big?
68.
Woo-hoo. 68 pounds on the surface iron.
Fortunately, it was the dumbest fish in the world.
Really?
Because we were fishing, depending on who you call, but we were fishing a pilot two, kind of out around on the front.
Yeah.
And there's three great big stones we're sitting in between, and if this thing had gone any way towards any stone, I'd been
done. Wow.
But it didn't. You know, it just swam back and forth around. And
68
That's a
pounds.
Big yellow.
And it was, 68.
Some of the crazy stuff that I've seen, you know, of course not that caliber, not your caliber, but was on the skiff trips up shallow in Bonitos.
Bonitos and Cedros, hell yeah.
Like 50-pounders for a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in the whitewater.
Really?
Like literally, it could be a 7-8-pound calico, or it was literally turn the skiff in a tow job. With 50-plus pound yellows.
I've seen that at St. Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
those things, like right in the shallow.
Like shallow.
Yeah,
A guy named Brian Dugan, we were working on a Finalista 100 way back when.
Now you're going back,
And we're doing the whale trips.
Yeah.
And we, on our way down, Bonitas was a stop on the way down, you know, and you let the folks out, and they do the naturals thing on the island and whatnot.
Yeah.
Me and Brian were going out to catch calico bass for a lunch. And we had like some buckets of fresh dead squid and
where was this again?
Bonitas.
Bonitas.
Yeah, we were in the middle. And
wish I was on this trip.
And you know, we're catching yellow. I mean, bass. And the yellows got on us so bad we couldn't even catch a bass in
it. Oh, darn.
And we're thinking, well, man, we got to get lunch, you know.
Right.
And so we left them.
Wow.
That's cool.
I give a shout out to a guy that used to, I know he listens to the show. Shout out.
to John Pratt, who runs the bait boat, who actually worked on the Finalista.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I used to fit with John Pratt. Was running the Mascot Six.
Yeah,
when it was they were half day fishing.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, let's try and sneak one more in. Brent in Florence calling real quick. About 45 seconds left for you, Brent. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to talk about Taddy. Back in the mid-70s, I used to pinhead on the half-day boat up in Redondo, and he used to come out fishing all the time, and I loved talking to him about fishing and life. And, you know, he was a really great man. So I got a good story, but I don't think we have time to tell it about him.
Go ahead, quick.
Well, one time I found a jig at a garage sale, and it had a big eyeball on it, and it was real crazy painted, and I brought it out, and everybody laughed at it, and I showed it to Taddy, and he looked at it, and he said, "That'll catch a fish," and he explained to me why it would catch a fish, and that afternoon, I was fishing next to him in the bow and caught a 10-pound barracuda, and when it hit the deck, the jig broke, and that was the only time Taddy ever asked me for a jig.
Wow.
There you go. Never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, such cool stuff.
Good story, Brent.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for joining us.
And, Brent, we appreciate you sharing that with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this not only a full-day trip on the San Diego, but a $50 gift certificate to Point Loma Seafoods. When will you return on the Let's Talk Hook Up app? Find your 1090 ESPN Radio.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer. A world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon. King, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's K-A-T-M-A-I.com. Katmai.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. The talk in between the shows.
Oh, yeah. You guys are getting, it's like old home week for you.
I know.
Yeah.
So Danny's going to flip a coin. We're going to find out who wins this.
Text her or caller. Go ahead, Danny. Flip it up.
All right, and it's a
that's a caller.
It is a caller. All right, that's Ken. Ken in Santa Barbara wins the full-day trip on the San Diego and the Point Loma gifts.
The $50 gifts. And thanks a lot to John, and thanks to Booger for donating that. And you might see Danny Wade on that San Diego once in a while.
It happens.
It happens, yeah, for sure. Hey, Danny, thanks a lot. Of course, JRI makes the DW1, and support Danny by buying DW1s and go catch the fish on it, right?
Why not?
Yeah.
They work.
And you
you hang out down at that H&M Landing tackle shop, right?
Well, you know, they keep paying me to stay.
Yeah, so.
I think I see him more at Fisherman's, though.
Yeah, he's there a lot, too. Yeah.
I roam around.
But either way, you stop Danny, he'll help you out. I guarantee you that. He's wealth of knowledge and really is willing to share it, too.
Friendly and willing to
yes,
share. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, you can't miss Danny.
It has been an honor, truly, being in studio with
Danny. Well, and it's so cool to have you, too, Corey, because you two have such great history, too.
It's honestly in my teenage years, infancy, and sport boat style. I mean, it's seriously. My first jig rods were made by this guy.
That's so cool.
And
you passed them on to somebody who's
using it today.
Using it today. And of course, great having you too, Corey. Thanks a lot for helping out and covering for myself as well as Ricky. And you'll be back soon. I know you'll be back here. We look forward to that. Danny, hope you have come back soon.
Sure. Oh, I'm a phone call away, man.
All right. Thanks very much. Hey, thanks to JP for manning the phones and the board. And, of course, thanks to Adam for manning the app. Let's Talk Hookup app. Of course, you can hear the archives always right there on the Let's Talk Hookup app anytime, 7:24. Hey, next Saturday, Dustin Hackman from Seaboard Tackle will be here. Another good buddy of Corey's. That's going to be a great show. And then next Sunday, Captain Benny Florentino from Coastal Charters will be here. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.